the daily racing podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, it's good to have you with us here on William Hill Racing Radio, looking ahead to Saturday's racing action on Saturday's Racing Podcast. It's Dave Kellner in the studio with William Hill Radio regular Mick Norton to look forward to Saturday's action. Mick will be in the studio on Saturday afternoon alongside Craig Forsyth and Will Smith to cover what should be a scintillating day's action with meetings at Ascot, Haydock, Kempton, Leopardstown, Stratford, Thirsk and Wolverhampton. There's enough going on Saturday, Mick.
Certainly is, David. It's going to be a latest finish as well. I think we finish at start about 1:30 or something and finish at 9:05. So that could be quite an entertaining few hours.
You might need to be ridden strongly towards the end of the Wolverhampton card for response.
I think you might be right there.
Some quality action though, some really good racing.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant stuff. Great card at Haydock domestically, some good support cards. And of course, we've got the Red Mills Irish Champion Stakes, which, if they all stand the ground, the dead eight, we're in for a cracker.
We'll talk about the Irish Champion in a few moments' time, Mick. But first, I want to get your reaction to the news on the front of the Racing Post on Friday. The headline, Good Friday, green light, all systems go, seemingly, for cards on a Good Friday. Not even a handful of days that is at the moment clear on the racing calendar.
Yeah, just the run-up to Christmas now, isn't there? And I'm sure they'll be having a look at that with interest. But I suppose it's a done deal now, isn't it? I think what they want to do, it's awkward in the sense that Easter is such a movable feast. If it was static in the calendar, it would be much easier, for example, say, to put on a really good Easter festival, starting on Good Friday, Easter Saturday, Easter Sunday, Easter Monday. You could put a four-day Easter festival at one of the bigger tracks, attract the good horses and stuff. But with it being such a movable feast, like it's in March this year, next year it's in April, middle of April. It's just difficult to pin it down, and I think that's always going to hold it back from a point of view of making it a really good festival. I mean, some enterprising racecourses might see the opportunity and tack on or apply to make it into like a festival status and race all 4 days. I mean, somewhere like Fos Glas or somewhere like that, for example, are out on a limb, and they might work for someone like them. I don't know. I make it mixed card, you know, a mixed festival, as long as they do it right and they're not allowed to get away with just planners with classic sort of bank holiday fare.
Yeah,
I think if they try and make it special, and I think the BHA are going to monitor it properly, I think it's a done deal, really. I mean, it is a bank holiday after all, people are off, and we only have to see the crowds that they get at the Sunday fixtures, which are not great racing, nobody will admit it, but it doesn't stop them. I was watching the racing at Ripon the other Sunday, and they were still trying to get through the gates as they were going down for the second race. There was that many people there. There's a market for it, David, but it does need doing properly, I think, to compensate everybody involved in the industry eating into one of the rare days off in the year. I know nobody's forcing you at gunpoint to go racing or even work it, but you know what I mean, it wants doing properly. It doesn't want to just be another class six fest.
Arena Racing Company is hoping to stage a £1 million championship meeting at Lingfield on that Good Friday, and it's come under criticism from some people in the racing industry that are involved with Lambourne and Midland Open Days.
Yeah, that's true.
They usually have their open days on that day, and the Leicesters as well is what is featured on the, is it on the Good Friday or the Thursday before? Or
yeah,
somewhere,
I think it's Thursday,
point,
isn't it? Everybody's got a sort of personal view on it, haven't they? And you can see it could affect the open days. There again, it may not. You know, we don't know until we try it, but I think it's already a done deal. I just don't hope that the BHA don't just give Arena their own a free hand and let some of the other racecourses come in and try and, you know, sort of make it into a proper Easter festival, make it a four-dayer, Good Friday, Saturday, Easter Sunday, Easter Monday, and really make it worthwhile.
I think that's the key. Good quality racing,
definitely.
Attract the crowds,
definitely.
And make sure the people that are there don't regret being there because the racing is so poor.
I mean, you're going to attract the crowds anyway. Look at the crowds Carmel getting, and nobody could in the, even Carmel, like I said, wouldn't say theirs are the best racing in the world. They put on good prize money and do a good job, but people want to go racing, but for the from the industry side of it, they want to be going for something worthwhile, and you know, they don't want to be allowed to get away with just putting on class six stuff. And I mean, they might talk about £1 million prize. They might be better off sharing that amongst some of the lowly prize money they put up for the rest of the year when they're putting on these floodlit evening meetings for three men and a dog. But as long as they make a fist of it, I've no objection to it at all. But it's just another brick in the wall, isn't it, Dave?
Moving on, we've got all that quality action on Saturday. And we'll start off with the Irish Champion Stakes, the Red Mills Irish Champion Stakes, which is part of the Twilight meeting at Leopardstown. So 6:50 start time for this race. And we're just hoping that all the acceptors hold their ground. Declaration of War is the 5-2 favourite for the champion. Al-Kazim is 11-4. The Fugue is 3-1. Trading Leather, 11-2. King's Barnes is 6-1. And it's 25 bar. Al-Kazim, Roger Charlton has come out and said that if they get the forecast rain, he will go for the race. But this horse is a horse that isn't necessarily ground dependent, but would like it.
I was looking through his form before we came on. He's got plenty of soft ground form. I just don't understand the problem with him. Suddenly, since he become a ground horse, he's become fragile. But anyway. I'll tell you what's more important, David. All his best form and all of his group wins have been right-handed.
Right, OK.
He's won two left-handed. He won a handicap. He won his maiden and a handicap of 85, both at Newbury. And he's been placed on four other occasions left-handed, including last time when we saw him at York. But, and this is a stat, this is indisputable, he's 5 from 5 right-handed, including all of his group wins, and he's 2 from 6 left-handed. So make of that what you will.
Yeah, so you're against Al-Kazim.
I was working at York on Judgment Day, and I was so impressed with this horse, Declaration of War. I thought it was a fantastic performance. It wasn't that Al-Kazim lost it, it was that Declaration of War won it, and it wasn't exactly as if he'd been sort of, you know, hidden away and coming into it fresh or anything like that. He'd been taking on the best at all sorts of trips, and I was astonished when I went back through his form again how few times this horse has run at 10 furlongs. All of his best performances have been around this trip. He won the Judgment at York last time, as we saw. Excellent second in the Coral Eclipse to Al-Kazim. That was a tremendous run. And this is only his fourth turf start at 10 furlongs. He did win one at Dundalk, a high-class race in Dundalk as well, at 10. I think that might have been 11. But and his only defeat in four turf starts at 10 came in the Eclipse.
Yeah.
So he's unexposed at the trip.
Mm.
And I just love the performance at York. And whichever way you look at it, that York form, for me, is the key to this. And I think they'll go and win again.
I'm looking forward to seeing the second string as well, if King's Barnes...
Yes.
I mean, this horse has only ever run twice in his career, both times on soft ground. So I think Aidan O'Brien's team will want the ground to go soft for him, but in contrast to that, they'd like it to remain on the quick side for Declaration of War. But King's Barnes is a horse that we saw win the Racing Post Trophy last season in impressive fashion, then get all those fanciful quotes for the classics, and we've not seen him since.
No, and he and the other three are all trading leather, get the £7 weight for age allowance, which could be very handy. And it's an exciting prospect seeing him reappear and could be a really good trip for him as well, this 10 furlongs to kick him off. And I would say by no means a second string in this. He'll be there on merit, and as we saw, first time up, albeit not at this level, he can come to hand early. Yeah. So I wouldn't hold the absence against him, and he certainly looks to have the quality. I think he brings a fascinating equation into this King's Barnes, one of the best staying two-year-olds of last season, here mixing it against his elders on his season reappearance.
Yeah, looking forward to that
and
immensely.
He's also got the toughest teak thread in leather representing the three-year-old age. He can't be discounted. He ran a mighty race at York after doing the donkey work, got headed, and then came back
still
again.
Still battling.
Yeah, brilliant performance by Trade in Leather. And for me, that, despite all of his Irish derbies, etc., etc., that was a career-best performance by Trade in Leather last time at York. So he's another one that shouldn't be dismissed. Oh, the filly, the Fuego, again, for me, posted a career-best winning at York. She was in scintillating form at York, absolutely scooted away from him in that. And she brings another nice mix, and we know she can mix it against the boys as well.
Do you think there is always that reservation, though, that she's got to go up against the boys? It always seems to me that only the very, very, very best fillies can really mix it against the colts.
She had excuses in the Eclipse, you know. Yeah. I mean, she wasn't far behind them in the Eclipse, and John Gosden, he wouldn't be pitching her. He could easily keep this filly to her own age group and do a midday and make her the best mare in training, etc., etc. But he's quite happy to pitch her in the deep end, and I wouldn't dismiss her by no means. She showed in the Eclipse that and there were excuses for her there, that they're not afraid to mix it with the boys. It's a fascinating Champion Stakes, it really is.
That'll be something to keep you going, 6:50.
Absolutely, something to look forward to. It won't be all over and done with by 3:30
like
usually
it sometimes
are.
Is, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good that Leopardstown do this. I like it a lot. Get people interested in the racing early evening, and I hope they're rewarded with a big crowd at Leopardstown, which I'm sure there will be tomorrow afternoon.
Just to go back to the Fuego, best run against the colts was in the Princess of Wales at Royal Ascot. So, you know, and she sure she can mix it with them, with the boys.
Let's move to Haydock then for their card, which also features a Group 1, the Sprint Cup, the Betfred Sprint Cup at 3:50. But first we're going to have a look at this 2:40, which is the Betfred.com Superior Mile, a Group 3 contest. And I'm looking forward to seeing Monty Ridge. I really am, Mick. Richard Hannon trains, Richard Hughes rides, and this horse was mightily impressive last time when beating Torhid by 1.25 lengths at Goodwood.
Yeah, he finally got his well-deserved Group 3 success in that race you mentioned, the Bonham Stakes at Goodwood. And he's improved with every run since winning his first two starts at 2. Every run since then, he's improved. And he's also, David, got soft ground form in the book, so he won't be fazed by the rain that's falling in the Haydock area as we speak.
Well, what's the situation as we speak at Haydock? We're talking about this on Friday afternoon.
4 mils of rain overnight on Thursday evening, changing the ground from good to firm to good. That's before racing starts and they start to kick the top off. If it rained all day and all night again, I could see it good to soft by Saturday, certainly good to soft anyway, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if it went good to soft after they've raced on it on Friday. So I don't think it'll worry him though.
No.
He's a smashing horse with a good attitude, and I think he's the one that they've all got to beat.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Quality performer, Monty Ridge, and looking forward to seeing him.
Premier Loco's in there, he won't make it easy for them. He's won 9 of his 32 on turf, and he's still running to a very high level of form at the age of 9. He's got some, but not much, soft ground form, and he can usually be relied upon to give his running. And he's versatile tactically as well. With the wily George Baker on board, he'll be trying to exploit any weak links in the opposition, and he shouldn't be dismissed just because he's getting on in years against some smart three-year-olds. The other smart three-year-old in the lineup is Gloria Waits, who he's got work to do with Monty Ridge on their Goodwood running, but he is £4 better off now because Monty Ridge has picked up that Group 3 penalty. So he is £4 better off. Whether that'll be enough, I'm not so sure. Is he just fine getting his head in front because he ran the race of his life in the 2000 Guineas with the blinkers on, and the blinkers are back on Saturday. Neil Callan on board, and not out of it, Gloria waits, especially if it keeps raining. So he adds another string to the equation here. It's a good little contest. I hope Monty Ridge can continue his winning ways, but those two won't make it easy for him. Premier Loco and Gloria Waits. And interesting that William Haggas throws Nine Realms into the mix, who looked very impressive making all at Ascot. His mark's gone up to 97. Now, you would have thought William would have exploited that mark in something like the claimantship, but he's quite happy to risk it in this group three. So I think he's well worth his place in the lineup. But I'm staying with the proven group form of Monty Ridge.
The 3:15 at Haydock is the Old Borough Cup. This is a handicap over 1 mile and 6 furlongs, and we've got a couple of old boys in here, Mick Blueberger and Nanton. Mm. Grand old age of 11, both of them. But they're coming up against some improving young handicappers here, Mick.
They certainly are, and one of the interesting horses in the race is Palace Sato, who is coming back from an absence of 344 days, trained by Sir Mark Prescott. Luke Morris taking the ride. He never stopped improving at three, rattled up the hat trick only three times we saw him. He's out of a Lancashire Oaks winner, Ella Athena, who won at this track when she won the Lancashire Oaks. And he also himself was a course and distance winner on his final start. He's £9 higher than that, but he goes fresh. He looks very useful. And he does hold a Cesarewitch entry, and I think that'll be his target after this. So he's got to go on the shortlist, Palisato, and Sir Mark will be absolutely delighted with the rain that's falling in the Haydock area. He's been ready to run for a while, this horse, but hasn't had his ground. He's going to get it on Saturday. Tropical Beats, interesting. He was trained by John Gosden when he was second behind Sir Graham Wade in this 12 months ago. And he ran really well for his new yard at Musselburgh on his comeback run only a month or so ago, and he's won second time out for the last two seasons, and he's with the banging form David O'Meara, Danny Tudhope taking the ride. He's yet to win in class two, and a career best is required if he's going to win this off of 99, but he's very much respected and he gets my vote, although it's close between him and Palisato. A couple of others worthy of mention. Samin will be popular in the betting ring. He's won four of his nine, very progressive. His mark's gone from 68 to 90 this season. This is his first try in class two, and he could be anything. The problem is, though, he's got no soft ground form in the book, and his trainer has stated that he is a fast ground horse. So just factor that into the equation if it does keep raining at Haydock. And further down the handicap, Paul Thomas, a son of the Ark winner Rail Link, trained by Rafe Beckett. Jim Crowley takes the ride up into class two, and his mark is now in the 80s, which he deserves to be, but he's very progressive. He's got no soft ground form, but his pedigree was hopeful by the Ark winner Rail Link. That's the year when Deep Impact was expected to win for Japan, if you remember that one.
Yeah, I do.
And still improving after just five starts. Deserves to go on the shortlist, but I think David O'Meara has found the right race for Tropical Beat to go one better than he did last year, and with Palisato very much respected as an alternative.
And we finish things off on the podcast with the feature race of the afternoon at Haydock, the Betfred Sprint Cup over 6 furlongs, and it's the multiple Group 1 winner, Lethal Force, that's likely to head the market here, Mick.
Yeah, I'm looking outside the box here, David. Well, I do respect the chances of Lethal Force, who's got plenty of ticks in the boxes. I mean, since they sort of realised he was a 6 furlong horse, he just never stopped improving, making all in the Diamond Jubilee at Royal Ascot and the July Cup at Newmarket, second in the Prix de Maurice de Geest at Deauville last time behind Midnight Cloud. Absolutely top class form, and he's got plenty of form with Soft in the going description as well, including second of 17 behind Society Rock in the Duke of York Stakes on the Knavesmire. So he's that was first time up this season, so he's got to be respected. But as you hinted at, he's going to take a chunk out of the market, so I'm just looking outside the box a little bit for some each way or place only horses here. I'll start with Gordon Lord Byron, who he's no stranger to big race success. Second in this race before winning the Group 1 Prix de la Forêt last year, and probably go the same route again this. And he got a confidence-boosting Group 3 win in the Desmond Stakes in Leopardstown last time. That was over a mile. It just shows how versatile this horse is. 6 furlong, 7 mile, all the same to him. And he was a close third in that Prix de Maurice de Guise behind Midnight Cloud and Lethal Force. So he's entitled with that about, and he's going to be sort of three times the price that that Lethal Force is. So how can he be out the shake-up? And he won't mind if he keeps raining either. Johnny Murta has been booked to ride by Tom Hogan. I'm anticipating a big run from last year's second, Gordon Lord Byron. Rex Imperato is very impressive in the Stewards' Cup. I don't think we saw the best of him next time, and that was in a listed contest. He does have to take his form to a new level, but the ground should suit. And again, like William Haggard's taking on the big boys with Nine Realms, you know, Rex Imperato could well be up to it. Sol's interesting. He's going to be a lively outsider, you know, if the heavens really
He'll
open.
Be a big price, won't he, as well?
He's going to be a big price. And Godolphin trains Joe Fanning's a rare booking for the boys in blue. He's not been seen to best effect in both this term, both runs this term, but he hasn't encountered soft ground yet in those two. A return, and you could forget about this, that he was only beaten a length and a quarter when finishing fourth of 14 behind Black Caviar in the Diamond Jubilee at Royal Ascot last year. I mean, that would nearly do, especially if it kept raining, because that was on fast ground, and we know this horse goes well in the mud, and will have his conditions, I think. And I think he's going to outrun his price, whatever price is, 16s or whatever. I think he's got to go. If you want to go on the pro market and place only him or each way him, I think there's a bit of value there. So, and the other one who won't mind if it keeps raining is Garswood, who got his season back on track at Goodwood last time over 7. He would want a really strong gallop, which I think he'll get, Garswood, if he's going to be effective back in trip here. But both of his wins this season have come at 7, the free handicap at Newmarket, and that Group 2 at Goodwood last time. But Ryan Moore's been backed again for far here, and I would anticipate another a big run from a horse who's probably going to be a forgotten horse in the betting, but he's too good to ignore. So it's a fascinating renewal of the Betfred Sprint Cup. As good a one from a sort of chancy betting angle as I can remember. You know, it's all those alternatives there to taking the shorty.
Which one would you go for?
I think I'd have two running for me. I think I'd have Gordon Lord Byron and Sol. And that's, the Sol bet would be dependent on it sort of going his way, the ground, and against maybe a few of them. But as we speak, Gordon Lord Byron and Sol.
Thanks, Mick. Superb, as usual. And Mick, you'll be back with Craig Forsyth and Will Smith for all the action. 1:35 p.m. start time on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, really good day's racing to look forward to. The highlight, of course, the 6:50 at Leopardstown.
Remember, you can download all our podcasts at williamhill.com/podcasts and check us out on iTunes as well. Type in William Hill Radio to the iTunes store, and all those podcasts will pop up, and you can subscribe to each one individually. Thanks to Mick Norton again for contributing to the racing podcast, and thanks to you for listening.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.